Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
From our Star Market TD Garden studios in advance of Bruins Hurricanes Game 1 in the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll do that in Celtics for this hour. And to join us and help us on the Bruins is one of the voices of the Bruins, Bob Beers. You'll hear him on the call shortly after 8 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports Hub right here. Bobby, how are you?
Good. Good to still be here.
Yes, there you go. At least one team is. How do you see this one shaping up with the Hurricanes?
I'm curious to see how it's going to go. They're a combination kind of what the Bruins have seen in the first couple of rounds, I think. You know, they've got more size than they've had in the past and some guys that like to bang a little bit. They've got some grit to their team that they've added. They've got good experience in terms of a couple of players, including Jordan Staal and Justin Williams. I think that they're both good leaders as well. But they're fast. They're fast, and they can compete in all zones. And I don't know how the goaltending has held up the way it has this season. The thing that surprised me most about it.
All right, so let me start there, because I don't think either guy's any good. And, it's interesting. McElhinney allows only two goals each of the last two games. They win going away, but they're going back to Mrazek. I can never pronounce it. They're going back to Mrazek, which is – you know, he's got much more of a track record. Those were McElhinney's only two starts in his whole career. He's a 35-year-old career backup. So, like,
he's picked up on waivers earlier this season, before the season started, actually.
Okay, so he's a waiver guy. So, like, I get going back to the other guy, but except you've won the last two with the other one. So just your thoughts on that choice in both of those goalies.
Well, I think if Mrazek's healthy, then he'll probably play. He started the playoffs. He got hurt during the Islander series. So he's been good for them all year. It started to turn for them about halfway point, right around January or so, where it started to turn for them as a group, and they got a lot of confidence, and they've gotten the goaltending. Bruins have seen plenty of him when he played for Detroit.
Never impressed me.
And then he got moved to Philadelphia, and I haven't seen a goalie play well in Philadelphia now in a while, except for Hart played pretty well when he got there this year. But, now he kind of moves on, and he ends up joining this team, and it's a good, young team that plays hard for one another, and he's come along for it.
So we have to take this team seriously, right?
They're in the conference finals. You better.
Okay, but take that part. Take that part of it out.
Yeah, no.
There are teams that make runs, that get fortuitous runs. Like
they are. I believe it's the number three team in the NHL since January 1st. The third best record-wise, for third most points. And Bruins are up there as well. But
okay.
So they're right behind them actually. So, but they did it the second half of the year in order to get into the playoffs, because they weren't finding ways to win early in the season. They weren't finding ways to score. The power play doesn't bail them out that much. They've struggled on it, most of the year. So a lot of their goals come 5-on-5, even strength, especially, and that's held true throughout the playoffs.
So why do they struggle in the power play so much?
It's hard to figure out, because they've got the talent. They've got the skill. They've got guys that can run the top on the power, from the defensive side of it. They go with four forwards and a D. They've got good people around the net. They've got a superstar in the making in Sebastian Aho. He's outstanding. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. I've seen this year, but even in the playoffs, they had a big goal in their last game against the Islanders, but it hasn't happened for them with the man advantage this season.
Okay. I just feel the Bruins have there's a disparity in terms of the top-end talent. I feel favors the Bruins, but as an exercise, just tell me if I'm right or wrong. Let's draft the series.
Okay? You know, we did this the last round. I said just a little exercise, a talk radio exercise, but it tells you something. You can have any player on either team. Give me the top five picks. Okay? So, hold on. Rask is number one. We'll take Rask off the board first. We'd all pick him first.
Okay.
Who's the next player off the board?
I don't know about order, Mike, but Slavin's a superstar in the making for them on the back end.
Would you take Slavin over Bergeron, Marchand, or Pastrnak?
Well, you're talking about defenseman or forward.
Yeah, fine.
All right.
Or even McAvoy.
No, I don't think so. But it's getting real close.
He's that good.
Slavin's that good. Yeah, he's having a great playoff.
It's their leading scorer.
I need Marchand, Pastrnak to have the success that they had last year's playoff, especially in the first round against Toronto. We've seen it in spurts a little bit, but we've also seen them be off a bit at times. So, hoping that this changing of the guard, changing of this next series, kind of gets them going a little bit offensively. They had a good middle of the series against Columbus, and then it was the bottom two lines that got the job done in game six.
Slavin's that good.
Slavin's that good. Yeah, yeah, he's real good. He's getting there. I mean, he'll play 26, 27 minutes a night. I think if McAvoy's on his game, you know, I like McAvoy. I see him every day. I'm a little, biased on that.
Okay, draft the forwards. Are Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak the top three forwards in the series? Either team? Is Aho in there?
Yeah. Aho's in there.
He's in there.
Yeah.
Who is he?
Yes.
He's Marchand? He's one of those guys. He's that good.
He's fast. He's skilled. Like I said, superstar in the making. He's had a little slow start to the playoffs, but he's been coming on lately. So, it's been a while since they played. But
so what you're saying is I'm wrong about the high-end talent, that they match you.
Not. I don't think as deep, no. I mean, Teravainen's good, but Aho's there, that top guy up front.
And he kills the Bruins.
He played great against them here during the regular season when things were really going well for him.
He's got eight goals in nine games against the Bruins.
They didn't have an answer for him. He's good. He's very good.
So if you underestimate the Hurricanes, you're making a mistake.
I think so. I think just like Columbus. I mean, they gave the Bruins all they could handle. It was a great series. It was physical. It was back and forth. Neither team wanted to give an inch. Finally, the Bruins got the better of it. And I look for a similar type of series, but a different kind of game. If that makes sense. I don't think it's going to be a walkthrough by any means.
So, Bob, I keep hearing about their defensemen, how involved in the offense they are, how mobile they are, all of that. My question is, how are their defensemen in the defensive zone?
Pretty good. Pretty good back there. They play man-on-man in the D zone, so you got to get them moving. Got to get the Bruins have to get their D involved. Maybe you bring a third guy out high and pull somebody away from the net. You bring the puck out when you've got a defenseman chasing you, so you get defenseman away from the net. There's different things that the Bruins will try to do to exploit it, but they're good because they can move their feet. They're all mobile. Top four guys especially. They're all mobile. Slavin, Pesci, Dougie Hamilton, who we all know, and Falk. And he's having his best season, Falk is, for Carolina. So these guys are going to be out on the ice a ton. They lost Van Riemsdyk. He was a good fifth, sixth guy. So those top four will see a ton of ice time. And it's up to the Bruins to make them work in that defensive zone. But they can play D.
Bob Beers, the impact of Charlie McAvoy's loss and how the Bruins account for it lineup-wise tonight.
Big loss. You'll see a lot of different D combinations tonight, depending on where the puck is in terms of where the faceoffs are, offensive zone versus defensive zone. You'll see, you may even see, you see Clifton with Chara. You might even see Grizzlick at some point.
So you're
Chara.
Saying, but what D zone faceoff, Chara, Carlo?
Probably a lot of that, not exclusively, but probably a lot of that. And then depending on the way the game is going, I mean, if they're trailing in the third period, you're not going to see as much of Chara. If they're up a goal in the third period, you're going to see a lot of Chara. So it kind of he bases that lineup on what the situation of the game is at the time. So I believe you'll see a lot of different combinations throughout the game, and it might depend on who's on the ice for the other team. And if somebody's not going, if Clifton's not going, or Camper's not going, and they're not quite getting what they want from them, get a short in the bench.
How do you feel about Chara right now?
He's had some good moments. He certainly had a rough game in Game 5. There's no question about that. I thought he was better in Game 6, but Game 5, he struggled. So how does Carolina come at him? They've got a lot of speed. How do they attack him? Do they dump the puck in his corner and make him go get it? Or they dump it, soft behind the other defenseman, so he's got to go to the other corner and get it? Do they attack him like Columbus kind of evolved and tried to do and try to beat him one-on-one with that speed coming down the right side? Be curious to see how Carolina tries to attack him, because we've seen both Toronto and Columbus do it a little differently.
Jumping back to McAvoy for a minute, do you have any issue with the decision to suspend him?
No. I mean, I can see their argument because he did get a lot of the body, but he got the head. And hey, Anderson had been running them all series cleanly. Anderson had a, you know, he's a physical guy. His job was to run the defense every chance he got. And McAvoy's eyes lit up. I got an opportunity to get this guy back. So, you know, I understood why, and coming across, and he had him lined up and everything else. And, you know, did he move at the last second? Did he change that posture? Did he get his head out further than it was when McAvoy committed to the hit? I think there's a lot of different arguments that could be made there. Ultimately, I see why they did it, but, you know, it hamstrings the Bruins for this game.
Okay. Do you still see it as their cup? They're the odds-on favorite to win the cup.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that they can beat every team that's still in it, and it's not. But it's just, it's not going to be as easy as some people think it is. It's just, you know, it's Carolina's for real, and they've proven that. And not just, you know, the regular season, what they did on the second half, but what they've done now in the playoffs. I mean, they beat the Capitals. They beat the Capitals in seven games. That's no easy feat. You know, that's, I mean, that to me, that says that they're for real. So I'm really looking forward to this series. But I think that the Bruins have every opportunity to win the cup right now, and I think they can beat every team involved.
Covering the team the way that you do and being around them, do you think that there's any way that they would take this team lightly?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think the vets would. I know Marchand said something like that after the Toronto first game of the Toronto series. He said maybe we took them a little light. I was surprised to hear
that. Well, that's how they played in that game.
Yeah, they did. Sure. Yeah, it wasn't a good game. So I was surprised to hear him say that. But, you know, if they learned from that, I don't think the veterans would allow that to happen. They've got pretty good leadership in that room.
Since you brought him up.
So I'd be surprised if it did.
Okay. Since you brought him up, what called into Marchand's shorts?
Yeah, what was that about?
Yeah, yeah, really. Like, what is up his nose?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, he had that. He got kind of quiet after the, you know, little jab to the back of the head of, was it Harrington?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he felt that, you know, people were taking shots at him.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I'd say the same thing if it's said to Kyrie. Then turn your phone off, dude. Like, I mean, really.
So who knows? I haven't talked to him about it, so I'm not sure. He probably would only give him one word.
And really, at the end of the day, unlike Kyrie, just produce, and it doesn't matter what you do. Be a baby, don't be a baby. Play on social media, don't play on social media. Listen, don't listen. Turn your phone off, keep it on. I don't care.
He could be a huge factor in this series.
Produce.
I mean, he's going to be, I think, you know, that line. They showed signs towards the end of the Columbus series that, okay, you know, they're really not. And he's still got 13, 14 points, whatever it is. He's one of the leading scorers in the playoffs right now, Marchand is. And Pastrnak's not that far behind him. But, you know, when they're really on, it's pretty obvious.
So if I were to say to you, what is the number one concern for the Bruins in this series?
Speed. Carolina speed.
So they're that fast.
They've got guys that can go. Yeah. And I was one of them. So, yeah, they can get on. And they'll get on you on the forecheck.
Do they match Bergeron on Aho? Is that like? Is that
It might be. From the Bruins standpoint,
yes,
you mean?
Right.
Yeah, probably. I think if Carolina has their way, they'll have Staal against Bergeron.
So they want to check Bergeron with Staal.
Yeah, but Brendan Moore said today he's not going to be hard matching, especially here in this building. But we'll see if that changes maybe when they go back, or if it changes throughout the game if Bergeron's, you know, playing, you know, shutting down, able to shut down Aho. I assume he'll go against Aho. So or Corrales' line, he doesn't mind.
Yeah,
he doesn't mind using Corrales against other teams' top lines. You know, the physical part of it, the way that they control the puck, the way Corrales just, he gets it and gets those legs going, and he can check pretty well because of his speed.
Okay. So, Bobby, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Robert.
Dunkin' Donuts pregame in an hour and 15 at 7:30. So, yeah, go drink your coffee, go have dinner, pregame nap, whatever it is. 7:30 for Dunkin' Donuts pregame. Beers on the call shortly after 8. Back to your phone calls right after this. Celtics and Bruins.
Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, Bruins Game Day on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
From the center of the hockey universe, it's Felger and Mads. This is Bruins Game Day. Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That's bull****. I mean, now one of us on this team knows what Kyrie's been through. Probably a few amount of people in this world know what Kyrie goes through. You know, it was hard for him as well. You know, he was forced into a situation where it was business over, you know, the friendships, where he had to come into a situation knowing that, you know, there's a group of guys that had something going before, you know, I come here. How will I fit in? Like, he didn't want to disrupt that, you know, and that says a lot, you know, for this is Kyrie Irving we're talking about. He's talking about coming in and disrupting, you know, us and, you know, we took him in with full arms and, you know, we tried to understand. But like I said, we never really understood because we're not in his shoes. So that's just a bullshit statement to say his leadership killed us. I mean, you know, it's four other guys out there. It's 12, 13 other guys on the team, coaches and everything.
So that's another one that just drives me up a wall. The drama. Oh, my God, the hardships of coming into a team that already had established players, a good team. And playing basketball. No one knows what Kyrie has been through.
What he's had to go through. That's insulting.
What has he gone through?
Poverty, a cancer scare. Like, those are real issues, what he's had to go through. That's when you say what that person's had to go through. You come to a new team, might be a little bit of a tough fit. You might feel a little bit awkward. Ooh.
No one knows what Kyrie's gone through. So he's saying that's Marcus Smart saying it's BS that Kyrie killed team chemistry. You know, you don't know what Kyrie's been through. Tough for him. You know, he put business over friendships. He went into a situation where they had something going on before he got there. And how do I fit in? Like, what are you talking about? The drama and just the nonsense. It's basketball. They had a good team. They went to the East Finals. You come in as their best player. All they need you to be is a better version of Terry Rozier or a better version of Isaiah Thomas. That's all. What's all this other stuff?
Well, and it also tells you, too, how divided that locker room was, right? Because, again, Smart's clearly siding with Kyrie. I think Morris, it feels like Morris, and you know, he hugged him on the floor last night,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it feels like there was a kinship there, a connection there, like maybe they were on the same page. And, again, I hate to say old guys versus the young guys because that's very broad. But, there was a division there.
Because
they were fractured all year long.
Because these NBA guys, it's so important for them. It's so important whose team it is. So this fake, it's not fake to them, but to me it is. This nonsensical, petty, catty dramas about whose team it is. Do you ever talk about that in football or hockey or even baseball? Like, whose team it is? Like, how's Bryce Harper going to fit in Philly and whose team it is? And, oh, my God, Demaryius Thomas, how's he going to come in? Whose receiver group is it? Who owns the receivers? And, how is David Backus going to fit in? Whose team is it? Do you go through any of that nonsense in any other sport?
Not really, no.
We might get it with the Browns this year, though.
Well, maybe. But in basketball, it's like a thing. And now you've been infected by it. The drama and the hardship of Kyrie Irving because it wasn't his team and he had to figure out how it was his team. It's just such a stupid, childish NBA thing that the Celtics are now poisoned and infected by.
Because, again, it goes back to the importance of the singular star player in that league. Like, you know, there's a flaw there in the way the game runs. You know, and I fear the Celtics, I don't know what you do now. I mean, you are really, you're kind of stuck. Like, on the one hand, you need championship-level talent. On the other hand, it didn't work, clearly.
Okay, as promised to your phones. Hank and Worcester, you enjoyed that game last night?
No one knows the troubles I've seen. Poor Kyrie, huh? That poor guy. Hey, Mike, I'm laughing myself silly over here. I got, instead of the three stars of the Bruins, I got the three frauds of the Celtics. Let's go number three. Mike, did you see G. Willikers run on the court last night with all that fire in his belly? You know, you're a little late to the party there, Hickory. Number two, hey, Haywood, we're trading for your wife because at least she made some noise during the playoffs. And my number one fraud, you know who it is, our favorite, no more drivel from the podium, no more 22 words when it takes three to say me, 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 no more clutch playoff shooting, fashion runway, and no more anger management for me. I'll see you next year in the crack den. All right there, Kyrie?
All right, Hank.
I love that guy.
except the crack comment. I don't get that. But a lot of blame to go around. A lot of blame. Brad Stevens on the list. Eric in Atlanta. Brad Stevens on the list?
Yeah, Brad Stevens is on the list. Last night, Jason Tatum throws up a three, and it goes way over the backboard and out of bounds. And then when they're running back down the sidelines, Brad Stevens is over there looking like Jason Garrett, clapping. Like, what are you doing, guy? Where's your anger at? Who are you going to yell at?
So you're sort of on that train, Maz. You need to see a little more emotion from him.
I just think that again, at the proper time, I don't think it's wrong in a playoff series after your team has lost two games in a row at home decisively to sit at the podium and say, you know, we're soft. We're soft. Speak in the collective if you want. You don't want to throw individual players under the bus. Don't throw them under the bus. But I think a veteran coach, like Popovich to me, would have sat there and said, this is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. What we did was embarrassing. If I were a fan in attendance tonight, I'd want my money back. Like, and to me, some of that is warranted in a year like this, and it just never came out.
TJ has a thought on Brad Marchand. Go ahead, TJ.
Hey, the reason I'm calling is because the Marchand was messing with that reporter because the reporter asked him if he had his skate sharpened after stepping on Cam Atkinson's stick, so he felt like he was being trolled by the reporter. He's just trying to get him back.
Let's no, I understood, Bruins, but then he did it with all – okay, Marsh, TJ. Right, but then he went in the locker room and did it with all the beat guys, like all the writers and whatnot, like in his scrum in the locker room. So if he had a thing with that individual reporter at Sportsnet or the network Sportsnet because they busted his balls over the Cam Atkinson thing, fine. When he got in the locker room, he kept doing it. Like, I could care less. Like, this is a nothing story to me. But
I think Beers is on to something.
Yeah, like he's just mad at the world.
Yeah, I think that it's,
and
you
good,
know.
Because I think you're going to get a better player, better play out
but
of
But, you know, I think it's, my guess is it's that, guys, I kept my nose clean all year long. I really didn't do anything wrong. I jab a guy, I step on a guy's stick and jab a guy in the back of the head, and you guys are now calling me a headhunter again? You know, at least that's how he perceives it.
Yeah.
Right? That's how he perceives it.
Yeah.
You know, and that the shot to the back of the head was weaselly, cheap, you know, totally unnecessary. But at the same time, it's not like he's the only guy that's doing that sort of crap in the playoffs. So he probably said, now you guys are holding me to a different standard. I'm pissed off about it. So screw you all. I think Beers is onto something there. I think it's probably that.
Stay tuned for more Bruins Game Day from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, it's Felger and Mads. Bruins Game Day on your home of the Bees, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, this is just like a scrimmage. The Celtics out there just wasting time and energy. They're 4-for-23 from three. This was a scrimmage, Ernie. Giannis don't have to do anything. I think they got a 12-13-point lead, and they're just going through the motion of Celtics. They are ready for 1-2-3 Cancun. I mean, Milwaukee is not playing great, but they don't have to because the Celtics are ready for vacation.
Barkley at half. You were being mocked. And the players didn't come close to responding. They just took it. Unreal. Junior and Brockton on the Celts. Go, Junior.
Yeah, I think it's time to get rid of Brad Stevens.
Okay, well, I'll just drop you right there. I mean, that simple thing. Maz, is it time to get rid of Brad Stevens?
No, not yet. No, but I think that what we learned this year is that the coach wasn't ready to handle a team like this, which is, you know, huge expectations, a veteran superstar with a massive ego, one that's bigger than the building they play in. You know, young guys who started to, you know, feel their oats a little bit and weren't as good as they thought because they didn't listen to the coach. He couldn't get through to them.
It is if they're going to side with Kyrie Irving. If he's going to come back, give him that deal, then you can't have a coach because it's not going to work. He doesn't respect him. He ain't going to listen to him.
So I don't know if there's any coach that Kyrie would respect.
I mean, that this is, you know, one of the things they got to decide.
One, he gets to boss around where he makes the rules.
So that's what,
so an empty suit.
So you're going to turn into one of those?
I doubt they will. I doubt the Celtics are going to go down that road because their identity, identity is too important.
But again, we did, you know, in 84 – they brought in a soft, soft players coach in Casey Jones. Now, he was one of theirs. He was a Celtics legend, which maybe softened that blow. It's not like they're hiring Tyronn Lue. But is there a way to, satisfy the Celtics thing, but have a coach that's going to be more conducive to the NBA superstar? I mean, I don't know. I'm talking out loud. I would hate to think that you're going to hire a coach to appease that asshat. I'm talking about Kyrie Irving. To me, that would be a horrible way to go, because I don't think Kyrie Irving gets it.
No, and I think that, honestly, I think Kyrie needs the opposite kind of coach.
If you want to bring in someone to, you know, just get along with Bird, who's going to work hard and gets it and is competitive, that's different than Kyrie Irving, who plays horribly and says, who cares, who plays horribly and says, now's not the time to be disappointed. I'm not trying to appease that guy.
No, you'd have to bring in a guy. I think the only way that you're going to get Kyrie on board is to bring in a guy who's got more credentials than Kyrie does.
So someone who plays, like Doc. Like Doc would be a better fit for Kyrie than, you know, maybe.
Someone who's not going to back down to him and who Kyrie will actually listen to.
Ed and Whitman. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're fine. What do you got?
Oh, sorry about that. Thanks for taking my call. So, you know, I put in the NHL versus the NBA, but I think that's a little misleading. I am a NHL fan first and foremost. And if I had to rate the four major sports, NBA would be probably the last one. But I try to like the NBA. And there was a time of period where I did like the NBA. And there was, you know, I recognize the athleticism and how good the sport can be. But, you know, lately, and I'm saying lately, within the last 5 to 10 years, it's all the best players are egotistical a-holes.
Just too much ego, too much drama.
Well, look, and there's a reason for this, too. One is LeBron. Okay, LeBron has created a whole new culture, and he's created a whole new culture because the rules allow him to throw his weight around. So there's this, you know, for the longest time, the superstar in the NBA never moved, and in order for a team to rebuild, you had to hit the lottery and get Patrick Ewing, right? It was impossible to rebuild. So they wanted to fix that. And the way they did that, shorter long-term contracts, more movement in free agency, and now what you have is a bunch of superstars who are bigger than the franchises, and it's a problem.
Oh, my God. It's just the fake adversity. This thing, it's all centered around whose team it is. I mean, really, that's it. It's all this created, this artificially created adversity around, is it his team or his team? Who gives a crap? Like, it's something you deal with in no other sport. In no other sport. The Celtics' problems this year, the reason they were one of the great fails in Celtics history is because they had a hard time figuring out whether it was Kyrie's team or someone else's team. Am I dealing with 5-year-olds?
I know, really, it is. It's unbelievable. It is. It's unbelievable.
It's exasperating to me. It's painful to me. John in Pittsburgh on Marcus Smart's comments. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I disagree entirely with him. And I also think that Kyrie, everything about Kyrie this season was enabled by Brad Stevens. So Brad Stevens is the real problem, and he needs to be taking more accountability for the flop that was the Celtics team this season. Thank you.
Okay, it's not unfair. I mean, the whole thing about not establishing a pecking order, the team desperately needed.
No, no, that's absolutely true. Again, he tried to treat them all as the same. The whole idea was...
You have to make some choices.
Right. Stevens' whole premise is built on sort of what Belichick builds the Patriots offense on, right? The guy who gets the ball is the open guy. We're not gonna make a favorite guy that we throw to all the time. That's not how we're going to do it here. It's wherever the mismatch is. Great, except that in that league, it doesn't really work that way. And this was, you know, it was an issue. They didn't have a clear pecking order as to who was going to get the ball at the times it mattered most.
Blame pie. Nick and Mass, who deserves some blame pie?
Yeah, I've been listening to your fan of your show. We got a lot of different critiques that I think all of them have merit. I will say that nobody has touched upon the GM. GM is
what's
the,
his role? Nick, quickly, what's Ainge's problem?
Our GM is the only one of the final four that ended up in the East that didn't make the improvements that the other three teams did. You look at the other three teams, you see Philly with Butler and Harris. You look at Toronto, at least Gasol, maybe more. I don't follow it totally.
Okay, well, let me just stop you there. Should Ainge have done something at the trade deadline?
Yes, but it wasn't because they had a shortage of talent. It's because they had too much. So to me, the move that Ainge could have made during the course of the year was to subtract.
Okay, so the a fair saying, I guess, of Ainge from day one through the trade deadline was Rozier.
Yeah.
He was a problem. He was miserable. He was subversive. He's someone that helped bring down team chemistry. He was not as good as he thought he was, and he was a problem. He was a problem on day one. He's a problem today. And they should have and Rozier, to me, and he was too redundant. And I think that that's a fair second guess. Now, the counter to that is save all your asset. You need to save every asset you can for an Anthony Davis trade. So why am I going to dump him just to, you know, appease, you know, so whatever. I understand there's a case against it. But that's, to me, that's the one fair second guess.
Okay, but then again, you know, you say, well, you could trade him for an asset that you can then trade for Anthony Davis.
Bingo, you've gotten a first-round pick for him, probably a low first.
Of course. Like, there's a, you know, to me, that's the one I would look at with Ainge. Because most times you'd say, like we had someone call earlier and say, well, they had too many players. You know, they went into the season with too many players. All right, well, that's usually not that big a problem, and you can address that during the year. They didn't. Like, once they got to the deadline, and it was apparent that they were spinning their wheels a little bit and there were issues, that would have been the time to sort of send a message that, okay, guys, we're not going to do it this way. We're going to make an example of someone, we're going to ship his ass out, and we're going to let everyone know what's going on.
And he might have tried, but so many of those guys were probably devalued at that point that they actually couldn't get even a decent deal or a return.
So, to me, that is the one area where I would look at, you
just
know,
to send a message.
Yeah, the roster composition and say, what we have here isn't working. We have a mix that's not working.
Wake up or you're out.
Right. We're not going to blow out the coach. And Terry Rozier, and he was the easy one to go after. But your attitude has sucked. It has sucked all year, so we're going to ship your ass out of here. Bye-bye.
One more segment of your calls, then it really gets ugly, folks. Do you think we've been bad today? Jones is standing by at 7, but we got one more segment of your wonderful phone calls.
Stay tuned for more Bruins Game Day from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helpline. MA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
From the center of the hockey universe, it's Felger and Mads. This is Bruins Game Day, live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Boston Bruins victorious here tonight, 3-0 in Game 6 over the Columbus Blue Jackets. They win the series 4-2, and they are on to the Eastern Conference Final for the first time since 2013.
T-minus about 40 minutes until Dunkin' Donuts pregame, then the puck drops shortly after 8 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. 98.5 The Sports Hub for the Bruins game tonight. If you're watching on TV, post-game, myself and Amante on NBC Sports Boston. We're doing that tonight right here from Causeway Street. We'll wrap up with your phone calls as promised. Joe in Worcester, go please.
Felga, you, Maz, and Murray couldn't be more right about Kyrie. He is absolutely insufferable. He has to be the biggest boat anchor I've ever listened to in my entire life. He is a dick.
There's not a I said before, there's not a single thing he says that I like. Like, every single quote, I'm simply going, what? You tool bag, which is unfair. There's probably one in 10 things that is okay. But everything he said last night, which was sort of innocuous on the face when you really think about it, every single answer. Like, you a-hole.
Oh, yeah,
what are you talking about?
He's impossible to like.
Yeah, just doesn't get it. There's no humility at all, no self-deprecation, and I don't think that's going to change. For it to work here, he would have to have a big press conference saying, like, hey, like, I'm back, and last year I had a bad attitude.
Sit-down interview.
Anything like that. But he has to own it. The fact that he's been a PUD, the biggest fraud in Boston sports history, or he's up there, but he ain't going to do that. He's not going to be willing to do that. So that's why it's not going to work here. And this is what I mentioned earlier in terms of, like, the marketability and the business standpoint. You can't sell this guy's merch now. No one wants anything to do with him. If you're a fan, you look at this and this performance in this last four games and say, are you kidding me? After all the bravado and talk, I'm here, I'm going to flip the switch. Okay, you suckered us in. We bought in after game one against this series, and then you got progressively worse with each game. And then 10 minutes after the game last night, you sit there and say, now's not the time to be disappointed. I'm going to watch these other games. There's more NBA playoff action to be had, everybody.
I'm looking forward to watching the Bucks.
Go F yourself. You can't sell this guy if you're the Celtics.
I mean, that's an interesting point. From a business standpoint, can he lead your franchise right now?
Right now, no. But see, I think that's fixable. I think you make a couple of trades. He does a press conference. You change the mix. And all of a sudden his attitude changes and, you know, who knows what else. Like, I think you can get past that one. But, like, really, he says that seeding doesn't matter. He says, I don't think anybody can beat us in 7 games. And then they get smoked in 5.
And he sucks in the process.
Oh, my gosh. Like, talk about getting egg on your face.
Just real quick, I didn't even know the stat until they flashed it on during the broadcast earlier. First team in NBA history to win their first 4 games and then lose their next 5.
Congratulations, Boston.
What a-holes.
Cody and Carver. Go ahead, Cody.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to get your thoughts on a couple of things. So were you guys convinced after game one that Boston actually had a real shot in this series? Or did you know all along that it was going to come to... So after game one, you guys really...
I had my doubts.
And then, I did too. And then, quick question. Now, do you think Kyrie's good as gone, or do you think he's going to end up staying? Or do you think he's going
to... Gone. I'm sorry to cut you off. Gone.
I mean, I have a hard time seeing how they bring him back now. I told you, I would take him back. I would. I mean, that's me. But I have a hard time believing how this thing's going to work.
I mean, what does he want? And now you got to wonder about did they finally come to realize that maybe this isn't the right guy?
So I think he wants out. I can't imagine how he would want to stay here after this debacle, this train wreck. The other thing is, I could see a scenario in which Ainge says, oh, no, I'll take him back. We're going to bring him back. But I can't see one in which Stevens would. And that creates a division in your organization, and that's not good either.
Paul in Lakeville. Hi, Paul.
Tony, how could you bring that cancer back? Never in my life have I seen a superstar with such negative body language in the middle of a deciding game. Pass the ball. You're off. You're the leader. You're off. Pass the ball, Kyrie.
One assist.
I told you, I think maybe his worst play of the game last night was that play where he was dribbling around the right side, basically the right elbow, came around the corner and tried to throw the pass back to Horford, who was out, you know, beyond the left side, big closer to the left elbow.
Did it end up with Giannis?
Went right to him.
Is that when he dangled his
souvlaki
right in Boston's face?
Yeah, he basically just walked down the floor and dunked it. It was like, thank you very much. Here you go, dunk. And that's the kind of pass that a rookie makes, like in his first game, for crying out loud. It was such a bad pass, and it had nothing on it, on top of it. It was just like this, hey, let me just chuck it over there and see what happens. It was so bad. It was a horrible pass.
Dylan in the car, go.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think one of the biggest reasons the Celtics play with no heart this entire season is because Brad Stevens has the personality of a sock. I mean, that team needs to get slapped in the face, and Brad Stevens is the last coach in the NBA that's going to motivate a team like that. Now, up one, down 2-1, but for game four at home, like worst coach in the league for motivational purposes, I think.
Okay, I'll stop you there. It's a bloodbath today, boy.
Well, look, so Stevens' shortcoming is that he's smart. He's a thinker. He's cerebral. And he looks at the game purely in tactical, from a tactical perspective and says, when they do this, here's what we do. And then find the guy with the open shot and make the shot. And he says, and you got to play hard on defense and contest shots and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know that I don't get the sense that he would ever totally air out a player in practice. And you know what? I think the great coaches in that sport do.
Okay. That'll do it. 5 hours.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.